is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The combine is in the books. Franchise tag deadline tomorrow. Legal tampering beginning 1 week from today. The new league year is upon us next week, and news to discuss and lies to correct. A lot going on this hour here on the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Welcome in on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni, and we'll have Jim Nagy, director of the Senior Bowl, former NFL scout, join us in about 30 minutes. But Michael, lots that we're going to get to today. Let's start though quickly with the news of the day that Mike Evans has agreed to re-sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 2 years, $52 million, $35 million guaranteed. All the teams that were hoping to land this guy in free agency don't get the chance.
Well, you know, we did a short-term deal. Usually guys that get to that 30 number, right, they want to do a long-term deal because they feel like, hey, look, this is my last bite of the apple. I got to hammer this thing in. And he decided to take a two-year deal at $26 million, which puts him in the top five category in terms of player salary. He didn't get close to that $30 million, which I thought when the number increased, when the salary cap went way up, I thought it would have a little bit of an effect on the salary scales of the positions. But this case, it didn't. I'm sure it will eventually with some other positions. But it's a great deal for the Bucs. They needed to get him under contract because, look, when you break down why did the Bucs win and why did the Bucs lose, you can give a lot of credit to Baker Mayfield, but you got to give the skill players, Godwin and Evans, those guys were hard to defend. And when Evans catches the ball like he did against Detroit, he's a deadly outside weapon. He's incredible. He's hard to defend. He's big. He's fast. He can get open on third down. And so I think to me, they needed him. If they're going to sign Mayfield, they needed to have him there. Now, what they pay Mayfield to me is going to be the most interesting thing ever.
So is it fair to say then that Mike Evans, who's coming off another 1,000-yard season, by the way, had one every single year of his career, he took a little bit of a hometown discount given the salary cap rise so that the team could get the guy that they want in Baker Mayfield?
Well, that's a great point. You just raised a great point. I don't think people are aware of this. So Florida, no state income tax, right? California, you're 49ers, huge taxes, right? So when these agents are doing deals, where the state income tax value comes in matters to the deal. Because the Bucs are saying, we're going to give you $26 million per year, $35 guarantee. And here's what it's going to look like after Uncle Sam gets paid out. And then here's what it's going to look like if you sign in California when the state gets paid out. And all of a sudden, that money is you're sitting there looking at, you're giving to the Golden State, could be in Mike Evans's pocket. You say, wait a minute. That's the hometown discount that they're looking for. That's the one, the tax discount. That's why Texas, the Raiders, they have such an advantage over states like New York, the Giants and the Jets. You're paying, you're going to have to increase a little bit. If you're in competition with a team from a non-tax state, you're going to have to increase it. And especially one like in this state where we all pay tremendous taxes. Why? I don't know. We live here. It's cold. It's rainy. It's windy. You know, at least if you live in California, you get sunshine all the time. But here you pay heavy taxes. And so, you know, I'm not complaining. I love living here. But the reality of it is that's the hometown discount that not enough gets talked about. You know, Chris Jones is giving them a hometown opportunity and he doesn't want to have to move. And he's probably sitting there saying, for $2.5 million more per year, if I go to this team and I look at my tax situation at that state, how does it really? And then I've got to move and sell this house and do all those things. Is it really worthwhile? And you say, wait a minute, no, it's not.
You're speaking my language, and that's why I don't want to leave Las Vegas. I love it here for all of the reasons that you just laid out. But speaking of where you live, not too far off in Philadelphia, Jason Kelce had his retirement press conference today.
Oh, my God.
All I keep seeing on social media.
You thought the Pope came. I mean, I got a note from a student at Ocean City High School. They're showing the video. They're showing the retirement party to the people on the and to the students in the school. Are you kidding me? That's my tax dollar.
It's a momentous occasion.
Jason Kelce.
This is the most important press conference of a center in NFL history.
And now we're at the point where we should waive his 5-year wait to get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, really? We didn't waive Tom Brady's, but we should waive Jason Kelsey's. Oh. I mean, this is the power of having a tremendous PR campaign, and credit Kelsey for it. I'm not being critical here. Like, this is incredible for him to create this kind of love and fanfare that all of a sudden no rules apply. I mean, it's remarkable. It really is.
Ever since that Super Bowl speech, dressed in the getup, he has been endeared like crazy to the fans in that community. It's just grown with how like humanized he's become on the podcast and with the Amazon Prime following him through that series last year. Everybody loves Jason Kelsey. I haven't got a chance yet, but we will after the show, to watch the retirement in its entirety, because everything that I'm seeing on social media is it has been extremely emotional. Good luck having a dry eye while you watch it, even though he's wearing a cutoff Eagles t-shirt like he just came off of the practice field. It was very, very Jason Kelsey. But Michael, okay.
You got to give Kelsey credit. Everything he does is tactical. He, you know, the cutoff jersey, the I'm not retiring, but I am going to retire. I mean, he's strategic and tactical of what he does in planning his future. And you got to admire that.
Yeah. And we'll ultimately see what comes next, whether it is a TV network and where he lands from that standpoint. But Michael, I want to take this opportunity to the last half of this segment to dive into what's on Michael's mind today. A little series that we're going to bring back here in the NFL offseason. What is on the mind of Mr. Michael Lombardi this morning?
Well, you know, all last week when I was on my vacation and kind of moving around, my Twitter and my Instagram was getting filled with all these kind of from Raider fans about all this hate towards Antonio Pierce and towards what I said. And then I come to find out today when we were getting ready to tape the podcast that Dove Cleveland, I don't even know if that's his name,
Cleveland
or something.
Yeah.
He's an aggregate on Twitter. He combined two shows and put it into one. So he took my sentences and he patched them together to create a sensation, which is completely unfair, which is completely unethical. And for me, this noise that we hear on the outside, and now I've got Skip Bayless texting me. I've got other people, you know, sending me videos that Ryan Clark's upset and all. Like, nobody listened to the podcast. Yeah. And then not only did they not listen to the podcast, they listened to the taping together of two podcasts, which has me furious. Like, they are putting words in my mouth, which is completely unfair. And that's not the intent of Twitter. That's not the intent of news. The intent of news is to have ethics. And on a day that we are mourning the loss of Chris Mortensen, somebody who was very ethical, somebody who had great integrity, we're trying to deal with stuff that are trying to damage people's careers by putting stuff out there. And then what's even sadder, Stormy, is all the people that are commenting on it never did any research.
Yeah.
They never went and watched or listen to the podcast, nor did they realize that he combined two podcasts together. Like, I think there's got to be a way to where that damage is really bad and it's affecting. And look, I'm a big boy. I can overcome it. Look, the one thing I believe more than anything is if you want to avoid criticism, don't say anything. But if you want to have an opinion, you're going to get criticized. I get that. I understand the rules of engagement in this business. However, that being said, don't put words in my mouth.
Well, yeah, they took one quote from a portion where you were talking specifically about Al Davis and the Raider way and whether or not their new head coach in Antonio Pierce knows the real Raider way. And then the other quote, which he combined with this, talking about Antonio Pierce, was based off of the Mahomes rules comments. And it's a completely different subject matter, different conversation to be had coming off of those quotes and combined into one and just quoting the GM shuffle, putting them all in one. It's crazy. And this created a full segment on Undisputed on Chad Johnson and Shannon Sharpe's podcast. At least credit the Review Journal for putting a little bit of context into the situation and showing where those quotes came from. So they did their research compared to everyone else that's just commenting on it, just to comment on it. It's really strange to me how quickly people react without taking the time to actually know the source of the information.
And really, it goes back to the aggregate. It goes back to that Dove guy, whatever the hell his name is. That's not even his real name. I mean, he doesn't even have his real name out there. My name is out there. I, you know, you, yeah. Here I am. This is what it is. So you're sitting behind some phony name and you're destroying or trying to put words in people's mouth. I have nothing to be ashamed of. You know, like I love how people on Twitter, Stormy, when the Art Shell era was happening in Oakland, I was on record to the owner, to anybody who would listen, that if you hire Art Shell and Tom Walsh as his offensive coordinator, this is going to be a disaster of epic proportion. I was on record of saying that before he did it. Now, I went home, I told Millie, I said, Millie, two things are going to happen. If I'm right, I'm going to get fired. If I'm wrong, I'll keep my job. And she said, how is that even possible? Well, he's not going to be able to look at me knowing I was right, but he is going to be able to constantly remind me how wrong I was. And so yeah. That's what happened. So when they sit there and start bringing up this quote about Lombardi's the fox in the hen house, I say, okay, tell me why I was wrong. I was the voice of reason, you idiot. You're sitting there thinking it worked. You're going to listen to some stupid quote from somebody that was not capable of handling the job at the present time, including the offensive coordinator. It was a complete mess. And these Raider fans act as if they've been winning Super Bowls for the last 20 years. It's comical. They're delusional. They really have become delusional in the fact that they haven't been relevant.
That's a great story to recall. And to your point, just about taking these comments and running with it, this is why the media gets a bad rap. This is why these types of things come out, because people in aggregate, in this case, in Dov Kleiman, like, this is the reason why nobody trusts anybody, because things like this happen and reputations can have damage to them. But, Michael, we will, in addition to this, we will also give you a chance to tell the Raiders fans what you really think about their current situation in Antonio Pierce, other than just the word delusional. We'll dive into that and a whole lot more. Step into Michael's office coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer. This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continues all season long with our VSiN Experts World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer has basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting the MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for our more data-driven bettors. Make this your best season yet. Download the free MLB betting primer now, VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Again, that is for free.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
I've got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk where step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
All right, some tough conversations to be had. And based on the way we started this hour, you know, Raiders Nation is stepping into the office here first, Michael. Of course, just to recap for anyone who missed the start of the show, Michael was the ire for Raiders fans across the country after a couple quotes from different editions of the GM Shuffle at different points were smashed together and taken out of context from an NFL aggregate. The viral quote was put all over a number of different media outlets, taking a lot of criticism for it. Michael, you answered that criticism, but now what do Raiders fans really need to know about how you feel about this team?
The first thing is you haven't won. You've had 13 head coaches since the last Super Bowl. You've had two winning seasons. You've won you lost both wild card games. This team hasn't been good in forever. Like, I don't understand the swagger with Raider fans. I don't understand this false notion that you're this incredible franchise. You were at one time, certainly. And when I was there for the 3 years I was there, for the beginning of my 4 years there, we were 8-8, and then we went to conference championship, divisional round, and then we lost the Super Bowl. But since that Super Bowl loss in 2002, it's been ugly. It's been ugly. It's been unbelievable in terms of the turnover from general manager to head coach, 13 head coaches. Like, I don't get the arrogance and this lack of knowing. You know, you throw words around like the Raider way. What is the way? You know, what is the way? Before we won, just think about this now. Before we won in 2000, you have to go back to 94 to have a winning record. Like, this has been a period of horrendous play by the Raiders. Like, they've got a brand because of the great Al Davis branded the team. But they have no success. And the way you attack people that say something bad about your team is almost comical, because what good can you say about the Raiders? The fact that you're from Compton? The fact that you wear silver and black? The fact that you're tough? Like, the fact that you've never won is a joke. It's a complete joke. And so what has to happen is, why not face reality and understand your situation? You know, I got a chance to spend last week with a gentleman who spent 8 years in an Iranian prison. Went there on a visit to attend a funeral, went to visit his family, got arrested at the airport as a political prisoner. As held by the Iranian government to then exchange for some Iranians to come back with Americans. 8 years, the longest captivity in the history of hostages in Iran. And he made a great point. You've got to accept your reality. Accept the reality of the situation. Raider fans, accept your reality. You haven't won.
And I don't want to like add and put words into your mouth, Michael, but you've said on the show before too, like, you have love for this organization. You would like them to have success again. It's just, it takes time, and it does take a little bit of reality to know where you're at in order for you to get better. Let's go to another franchise that you have a lot of familiarity.
I mean, to me, the biggest problem, Stormy, with this organization, the number one problem is the owner listens to the fans. Yeah. The owner listens to the fans, and the owner listens to the alumni. There's nobody driving this organization to where it needs to go. And unfortunately, when I left there, you know, Al Davis was towards the end of his life. He wasn't the same as he was when I got there in 99. He was brilliant in 99. And by 2007, he was having health issues. And that was affecting everything. And there was some really poor decision making going on. But, you know, they haven't finished first. To go back to when they finished first, okay, we finished 3 years, 2001, 2000, 2001, 2002, and we finished first in the division. The next time they finished first was 1990. So this has been over a 34-year period of just really not great play.
Let's cruise through some of these other ones so that we can hit a few. New England. Elliot Wolf, director of scouting, the de facto GM of the Patriots now, told reporters at the Combine about the team's culture. It's easy to say the culture has changed, but there are no players here right now. But certainly there's more of an open, less hard-ass type of vibe in the building that we can move forward with. So slight dig at the Hall of Fame head coach Bill Belichick's previous approach. Is Wolf right to want to distance himself from the Belichick regime, or how might you advise Wolf today?
Well, I think, Elliot, what you did was follow the company line, because obviously if you pay attention to this Apple series, which I have not watched, but people have informed me that it's slanted towards that you would think Belichick wasn't even there. You know, I mean, you would think that nothing did it. And I thought, Elliot, your press conference was more down. You were coached to say what you said, because I can't believe you believe all the things you've said. I know you too well, but I know that there's times where you have to stand in front of the public and you've got to address issues that will make your boss happy, not necessarily things that would make you happy. So, look, I don't think anybody can duplicate the six Super Bowls. You can laugh at the culture. You can laugh at the grading system. That's fine. You're entitled to do that. But you got to remember that when you were looking for some work, you came in there and Bill got you to work. And you may not agree with all the things that happened. Neither did I. But I think you've got to respect the results.
Yeah, Wolf hasn't been there particularly long. Joined the Pats in 2022 after the bulk of his career spent with the Packers and Browns. Let's go to New York, the Jets. Let's call him already, even though he hasn't technically moved on yet. Former Jets quarterback Zach Wilson. Joe Douglas announced during the Combine he's given Wilson permission to seek a trade following Woody Johnson's comments that they need a backup for Aaron Rodgers because they didn't have one this past year. Albert Breer said that he talked to one of Wilson's coaches who told him he still believes the 24-year-old is made of the right stuff and could have success elsewhere if he could be consistent. How do you view Zach Wilson, and what would you suggest he should be looking for in his next destination?
Well, Zach, I don't think anybody's going to trade for your contract. It's got too much money guaranteed in it, so I don't think anybody's going to trade for it. What I would tell you is go somewhere that has a track record of developing quarterbacks. If you could get Kyle Shanahan interested in you, boy, that would be good. If you could get Sean McVay interested in you, boy, that would be good. But I would go somewhere to learn how to become a player. and you know you're only going to get paid X amount of dollars. No one's going to pick up your fifth year option, which is going to be gone. So you need to be able to go somewhere and try to improve your craft. And then you got to show people that you're dedicated to your craft, that this is really important, that this is something that you want to achieve. This is something that matters in your life, because your behavior and your actions in New York, right, wrong, or maybe misperceived, haven't indicated that.
And this past year, I mean, we know all of the dysfunction, but this past year specifically, he was thrust into a tough situation. And then we have these comments from Mecole Hardman, former wide receiver, who had some strong opinions about the franchise on the pivot, talking about them having no standards and more. Take a listen to this real quickly.
There's no standard there. It's like everybody do what they want to do, and it's like whatever. Now, granted, the defense have a more of a stabilized standard with that, with the coaching staff on that side. So you could tell the defense got a, they got a standard, but the offense is just like, all right, we'll just figure it out. It's Aaron's show. Mm-hmm. Let Aaron do what Aaron do, you know what I mean? But then when Aaron go down, it's like, we don't know what to do.
How much of a chance did Wilson really have this year if it was all that kind of chaos and just do what you want? It's Aaron's show.
Well, I mean, look, this is, we know that, you know, you and I have been sitting doing the show since September. We've been saying how dysfunctional they were since September. I mean, I don't know why this is news to anybody. I think I appreciate Hardman saying that, you know, there's no standard. He clearly has never been trained in leadership, but he could see the absence of leadership. And that's what you see when I watch the Jets. I see the absence of leadership. I see a head coach who's trying to get the fans on his side reacting. I see a head coach who's paranoid. I see a head coach who doesn't command. And then I see an offensive coordinator who's going to placate to the quarterback. So this is a very challenging spot. I don't see how they overcome this. All Hardman did was say, look, I've been on the right side, I've been on the wrong side, and now I see both.
Last 30 seconds, any sage words of advice for Brandon Staley in his new role with the 49ers?
I would just say, you know, to me, Brandon, just lay low, understand game management, and just because going for it on fourth down looks good, it may not be good.
Good stuff. We are going to hit the break here. When we come back on the Lombardi Line, still lots more NFL conversation to be had, including surrounding the combine and a lot of the pre-draft process for a lot of these prospects. Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl Director, former NFL scout, he's going to join us coming up next to get the lowdown. And then to close out the hour, back to another edition of Gridiron Goldilocks. Are these division odds too long, too short, or just right? We'll dive into it all right here on VSiN, the Sports Bet Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on the Lombardi Line, remember everybody, you can put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter when you get a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and you'll get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical $240 price. All you need to do is use our promo code Lombardi. That's VSiN Pro access to everything we do for the entire year, which includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, use our promo code Lombardi. That gets you your first year of VSiN Pro access for $199. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can do so. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back here to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Getting into some combine and prospect talk with Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl Director, former NFL scout, who joins us now here on the program. And, you know, for all the outside noise that goes on this time of year, the lying season of it all, which we've talked a lot about on the show, there is such a beauty to the evaluation process of these prospects that is such a big piece of what you do. And Michael, I know what you did too as a former NFL executive, whether it's confirming things you already knew about a prospect or finding that diamond in the rough. How much do you enjoy this time of year?
I love this time of year for you. Thanks for having me on. No, this is the best time of year. And in the combine, I never really looked forward to, a week long thing in Indy. It's much easier nowadays. I just go in for the workout portion and get out of there. But no, it's great. Trying to figure these players out, that's always a challenge. And people, when I was in the NFL, I'm sure Mike got the question all the time as well. Like, you know, do you love what you do? If you didn't love it, you wouldn't do it. It's too hard. especially like what I did for 18 years, and that's be on the road for 200 nights a year. But yeah, this is the fun time of year, really, you know, going from Senior Bowl to Combine and then, you know, to the Pro Day season, and hopefully they're checking all the boxes. And, you know, like this morning, I came into the office, I started watching tape on a couple guys that maybe I've missed on. And so this is a really fun time of year.
And that was my first question, Jim. You know, when we all come back from the combine and we have opinions of players based on tape, what we see, and then they run these incredible times, or sometimes they run bad times, and we go back to the tape to watch to see, maybe did I miss this guy? Is there anybody that you feel like, you know, you may be under evaluated based on the combine results?
Absolutely, Mike. And I had one of my best interactions of the combine was with this young man. His name is Mason McCormick. He's a guard from South Dakota State. And he's a guy that we did a lot of work on over the summer and into the fall, and didn't invite him to the Senior Bowl. He went to another All-Star game, and he saw me walk in. He came up, and it was right after the running back workout, and their South Dakota State's running back, Isaiah Davis, was at the combine. He's like, man, Isaiah looked good, didn't he? And I didn't know who he was talking about. I was trying to size him up, like, who is this guy? And he's like, Isaiah Davis. I'm like, oh, and then I put two and two together. I'm like, oh, you're McCormick. And he said, yeah. And I'm like, buddy, I can already tell you that I whiffed on you. I said, I've had enough feedback from guys in the league after what you did in that other All-Star game that you should have been in Mobile. So, and I told him, I said, hey, I don't mind being wrong. I hope you go on and have an awesome NFL career. And I'll just I'll chalk that one up as a loss for myself in the Senior Bowl. But he was awesome. He was a really cool kid. And then he went on to have an unbelievable workout yesterday. So he would be at the top of the list right now.
And I'm sure that meant a lot to him to hear that from you. What do you make of this growing trend with the NFL Combine of people not doing the workouts, whether it's the top quarterbacks or Marvin Harrison Jr. in this year's case as well? We saw Caleb Williams not do the medical. What do you think of this trend and the way things have changed with the Combine over the years?
Well, I spoke to a couple of people in the media about this before I left Indy. And yeah, we haven't seen it a ton in the past, but I don't think it's going to be a widespread issue. I think you're going to have a handful of top elite level guys that are going to do this, you know, because they're going to have basically the leeway to do this moving forward. It was weird. It was weird that Jaden Daniels didn't get measured and he left the combine, you know. And again, Marvin Harrison did the same thing, and I understand why they did it. But I would have liked to have seen Jaden Daniels hang out and cheer on the guys that were in his group through the week. You know, I think teams, especially you with the quarterback position, you're going to hold those guys to a little higher standard. So I understand why they're opting out of stuff. I don't see it as something we need to be alarmed about moving forward, just because I think, you know, 98% of the guys at the combine are going to be in a position where they have to work out.
And you were at the combine, so obviously, you know, there's nothing like scouts and gossip. So there's a lot of gossip going around the halls of Indy and in St. Elmo's and all the restaurants. What was your takeaway on two things? What's the market you heard about Justin Fields? And what is the consensus of the quarterback ranking that you heard?
Well, the first one, Mike, I would say Caleb Williams is one, and then it's a blend of Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I think that's just particular who you speak with. And then I would say JJ McCarthy is four, and then it's either Bo Nix or Michael Penix. And I'll say this for Michael Penix's workout, he did to me. He threw it the best of anyone down there. And again, you know, Bo's getting knocked a little bit right now because of arm strength. And you and I both know that's probably the most overrated thing in a quarterback evaluation. So I think we need to keep going back to the tape for Bo Nix. And then the first part of what you said, the market for Fields, you know, I didn't get into that one. I know the one thing people were talking about was that video that was circulating on social media last week of Justin Fields dancing around his kitchen. Where everyone's assuming he got a call from his agent that, you know, maybe there was a good news that he was being moved to his hometown Falcons. But now I'm reading Omar Khan is talking about putting everything behind Kenny Pickett and trying to build around Kenny Pickett for his third year. So, I don't know if there's going to be much of a market there.
To go back to your thoughts on the order of these quarterbacks in this year's draft, and Michael Penix Jr., somebody who obviously has the injury history, how much is that impacting scouts? Because, like, I think just based on what we know about these quarterbacks, that he would be better than J.J. McCarthy, and that's just in my opinion. Is it the injuries that's holding him back, or how do you view that layering of that kind of second group?
I think the difference between those two players is just the mobility aspect. You know, Michael's great from the pocket. He's great from the pocket. I think what's holding some people back is what happens when you heat him up. And that's what Michigan did in that final game. Whereas JJ brings a real true dual threat, as does Bo Nix. But yeah, if you're just grading guys and what they do from the pocket and for up until the last, you know, 5 years, that's what the NFL valued. They valued guys that could win from the pocket. So, no, Michael's done everything he can do in the process so far between what he did here in Mobile and at the Combine. He's looked great. The medicals, I mean, scouts should be staying out of that anyway. That's not their business. That's going to fall on the medical people. You can't let that as a scout. You can't let that cloud your evaluation or change your grade at all. That's out of your control. I have heard the medicals came out good. He's you know, what he's done over 2 years has proven that he can stay healthy. But that's always going to be a roll of the dice. Mike remembers when Brett Favre came out. Brett Favre was failed medically by more than half the league. I remember Ron Wolf telling me once that the Green Bay people, when he wanted to trade for Brett from Atlanta, the medical people in Green Bay tried to block the trade because they'd failed him on his physical the year before coming out of Southern Miss. And we know how that turned out. He ended up being one of the all-time Iron Man in NFL history at quarterback. So however these medicals turn out, it's all going to come down to a roll of the dice.
No question. Real quickly, Jim, how close is Neighbors to Harrison in terms of the way you see it and from what you heard?
Well, I think the other guy you need to include in there, Mike, is Adunzi, just because I think those three guys are all packed in closer than what we were led to believe throughout, you know, even going back to last year. I mean, there's been so much hype for Marvin Harrison Jr. And it's justified. He's a great player, but you know, I think Neighbors leaving the combine, I think we need to talk about what that did. Neighbors left the combine without measuring and sticking with his group. And Adunzi did everything on the field, including sticking around and taking like 7 or 8 cracks at the three cone because he wanted to get a specific time. I think that's going to be a separator. You know, as we get through the process, those are the little things that separate when you got those, you know, position clumps on the board. And I think Adunzi did everything he could do to be in that conversation.
He kept clipping that one cone. I know it was bugging the heck out of him. And one last thing, Jim, before we let you go, just how valuable, I just wanted to say that how valuable I think the Reese's Senior Bowl is for some of those group of five guys. I look at Quinyon Mitchell coming out of Toledo, and just for him as somebody who day-to-day doesn't get to play against these top wide receivers, to have that opportunity and show his stuff is really, really cool what you guys do every year.
Oh, thank you for saying that. No, Q did a great job down here, and he knew that was the only box he really had to check. He, you know, physically he's got everything. He just needed to prove he could cover good people and that we can practice. I mean, he had Michigan's Roman Wilson and Ricky Pearsall from Florida. So thank you for saying that.
Really cool. Jim, you're awesome. Thanks for doing this.
Great job, Jim.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you.
That's Jim Nagy, again, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. I actually, when we come back, before we get to our NFL division odds, I have a quick story I want to share with you about my first experience at the Senior Bowl. Highs and lows to that weekend. Highs and lows.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We're wrapping up this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Stormy Bonantoni and Michael Lombardi with you. And we just had Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, on with us moments ago, breaking down some of what he learned coming out of the Combine and the Senior Bowl. And Michael, I just wanted to say, so my first time that I went to the Senior Bowl, which I love because it is such a great opportunity, especially for some players that during the regular season are playing in a MAC, like we talked about Quinyon Mitchell at Toledo, but he's one of the best corners in all of college football, but he doesn't play against high level competition. So getting an opportunity to play against those tough wide receivers. I love it. I love everything about it. I had the worst experience of my entire life professionally that weekend, though, because I was working for the Carolina Panthers at the time. We were going out to learn more about like potential prospects and stuff. Halfway through the drive from Charlotte, me and some of my like coworkers that are driving down, we go to get lunch at a Zaxby's in Atlanta, just up broad daylight. Okay. In Atlanta, make a stop, go inside. We're not inside this building 5 minutes yet. I had just placed my order. And a lady comes in and goes, "Do any of you guys have an Escalade? Because it's getting broken into." And we're like, "What?" And so we go outside. Four of the windows are shattered. All of our bags are taken. Our cameras, like these big Sony 800s that we're trying to take to shoot everything at the Senior Bowl, all stolen. And so we had to drive back to Charlotte with like a trash bag on the windows, just whipping on the freeway the entire way back, get another car, get more equipment, and make the drive back to Mobile. I wanted to die.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
So you think you had a bad road trip ever? Just compare it to that.
Well, let me ask you, did you go to the Dewdrop hot dog place there? Did you at least go there? Did you hit some of the local spots in Mobile? You know, the Mardi Gras started in Mobile. So there's a lot of great history down Government. We used to practice there was a high school military academy. Well, there was no military there in the city, and then they practiced out by the airfield. So we were always in town. Now they're out at Fairhope, but it's a great city. It really is. A lot of history in that city. You feel like you're in New Orleans, a smaller version of New Orleans, but it has expanded all over the place. And yeah, unfortunately, that's not the best way to start. But if you went and had some of the gumbo, I'm sure it kind of caught up with it.
It definitely has some charm. My weekend did get turned around, but like, oh, my personal laptop was stolen. And at that time I was big poor, Michael. Oh. I was like, it was just so much. It was not a great way to start the week. And it was a big opportunity that I got to travel for something before I was like full time with them. It was just, come on, man, what is happening? Anyways, that's my life in a nutshell. Wanted to share a little of my commiseration. I also got tons of Reese's at the Senior Bowl. They have those locked and loaded all around, which is glorious. We're going to close things out today, though, with another edition of Gridiron Goldilocks. And we're talking about some division futures that have been posted from DraftKings, which before we get into the NFC North, which is the division we're going to cover here, let's give out our pro tip of the day as it pertains to some of these futures in the NFL. Again, VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com every single day. But if you're placing bets on NFL futures right now at this point in the offseason, it has to be because you genuinely believe those odds are going to get shorter based on offseason moves. Like, don't be betting numbers right now that you think are going to be available or better closer to the season starting. It's you want to do this from a value standpoint. Don't force a bet just because you like it right now if you don't think that things are going to change.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And, you know, one of the thing is you got to make sure that to invest your money, you're going to get the return on it. You know, like that's why I think the MVP, if you invest 500, you got to almost invest 500 to guarantee yourself a profit coming back because you're tying your money up for so long. So I think it's a great tip, Stormy.
Well, and also just a reminder, too, that these odds makers are smart. And some of those moves, if they become widespread and well-known, are going to be baked into the numbers, too. Exhibit A last year when Aaron Rodgers was talking about going to the Jets numbers moved way before he actually ultimately signed there. And then there was no movement after he did. So keep that in mind as well with some of these things. But as we go to Gridiron Goldilocks here, Michael is going to help us determine, ladies and gentlemen, if some of these odds in the division for the NFC North are too long, too short, or just right. And we will start with the defending division champions in the Detroit Lions, who won their first division title since it was the NFC Central in 93. It was a historic season for Detroit. They are plus 155 to repeat, the shortest shot on the board. Too long, too short, or just right for Detroit?
Well, the last division we did the AFC North. Baltimore was 105. And, you know, Baltimore had a little bit of a, you know, they had injuries in Cleveland, injuries in Cincinnati, and they were able to win the North. I mean, the Lions have a little bit of a tougher challenge. Understanding the Packers were a young team. The Bears, you know, I know they had Justin Fields, but they struggled to win games. I think this is just right, Stormy. I really do. I think this is the right number. I think the other numbers could creep closer. It's interesting where the Vikings are to the Bears, right? The Bears could be starting a rookie quarterback, and they're ahead of the Vikings because the Vikings, that number of the Vikings, and I don't want to jump ahead, kind of tells me they're not getting Kirk Cousins back.
Okay, well, let's just go to Minnesota then right here. Plus 450 are their odds right now. Question marks about re-signing Kirk Cousins, as you mentioned, although he is still a $2 favorite to take his first snaps next year in Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell made a lot of comments about how he thinks Kirk really wants to be there. They want to do whatever they can to get him there. But then we've also seen a little bit of steam on Kirk Cousins, maybe to Atlanta. So for those plus 450 number for that specifically, too long, too short, or does it feel right in your brain?
I think it feels right right now. Now, look, we do know this about Minnesota. They have $35 million worth of cap room today. And they can create more. And they can make Cousins' number this year more equitable to their cap when they sign Jefferson. So it's doable. There's a course to get there. It's going to require cash from the owner. There's no question. But the Vikings will spend the money. So I wouldn't rule them out. And if you don't rule them out and he's healthy, I think that number's too high.
Okay.
Okay, I think that number's too high. I think they should be before the Bears. I don't know why the Bears continue to get this love when, you know, anytime they've played against a good team, they struggle, whether it's a good passing team that knows how to attack their defense like the Packers do. You know, they do a good job of being able to control the front, and then they throw the ball however they want to do it. So as much as I complain about Gus Bradley's scheme, when you look at the scheme of the Bears, they're very similar and they're easy to move the footballs. I wonder why the Vikings are below this, but it tells me maybe if they don't get Cousins re-signed, this will not be pretty.
So this is actually a really good example, though, Michael, to what our pro tip was. If you think that Minnesota does re-sign Kirk Cousins, you think that's going to happen, Justin Jefferson's going to come back, then the plus 450 is going to go away if you like them to be competitive and win this division. It's sitting right there for you. Let's go to the Bears then, who you referenced, who are likely going to have Caleb Williams
and
a rookie QB.
Conversely, though, Stormy,
yeah?
Conversely, if you don't think they'll sign Cousins, this number's going to go way up.
Sure. Absolutely. The Bears, though, as we talked about, going to have a rookie quarterback, regardless of whether it's Caleb Williams, who we assume, or elsewhere. Their defense did improve the back end of last year, but their number is plus 360. Based on your comments, you feel too short?
You know, I think it is too short. I really do. I mean, they've got to prove that they can play three elements of football. I mean, they're bringing Eberflus back. You got a new offensive coordinator. He's still going to call the defenses. There's a lot of uncertainty. Now, look, they've got a lot of draft capital. And if Caleb Williams comes in and plays anywhere near the way C.J. Stroud did, this number will be too short, too high. And it would be good value. I think if you're playing this number, then you're believing that the value of Eberflus, the defense, and all these draft picks are going to make a difference.
Will Caleb Williams' first season be more C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, or somewhere in between? How about the Packers, though? 12 NFC North titles since 2000. They've largely run the division with Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love answered a lot of questions last year, had a great back end of the season. Too long, too short, or just right at plus 240 in the NFC North?
I think this is too high. I think it should be lower. I definitely think the Packers are a team. New defensive coordinator. They've got a lot of young talent. The quarterback is only going to get better. I think they can close the gap on Detroit. I really do. I think this is a little too short. Oh, and the thing I want to throw in before we close the show today, Stormy, another part of the offseason. Russell Wilson has deleted all his Denver Broncos mentions on his social media account. I guess they are breaking up. I guess they are going to break up, Stormy. This is an indication of...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish after he said
what? Oh, no, I was just going to say, after he said that he wants to win two more Super Bowls in the next 5 years, ideally with Denver. Very interesting comments from Russ.
Yeah, I mean, so he shut down. You know, they're breaking up. I mean, you know, we're in the hallways. Have you heard the news that Russell and Denver are going to break up? You know, you better go in the bathroom and scratch that "I love Denver" off the wall, huh?
It's so funny. Like, obviously, he's getting let go. The Broncos have to pay a lot of money. That was a match made in disaster, not in heaven. Fun show, though. So glad to have you back, Michael. And we'll be back here same time,
great
same
to be
place
back,
tomorrow.
Stormy. Thank you.